This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to the Hoffman Show on a competition Wednesday on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, where you see the wheel has made its way home. Yes, it has made its way
home.
Home back to Anthony's side of the building, where at 5:30 he will learn his fate. Because, and how he lost, just how close was it? Did it take perhaps perfection from your boy to defeat the mighty Anthony Haney?
The mighty is crazy.
The mighty, especially with your history of picks. Oh. The mighty Anthony Haney. You just keep walking into stuff.
I know, I can't help it.
Sometimes on this show, Ant, you are Wile E. Coyote.
I might just.
You just like, you set up an anvil and you're like, huh, why didn't it fall? Walks away, walks back. Huh, why didn't it splat?
Yeah, that's me.
That's Anthony, mighty Wile E. Coyote, Haney.
Yes.
So there's that. Also today on the show, Clinton Yates coming up at 4:30. We're going to get into the Tom Brady thing. Like, Brady is now a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, which is super weird because he's also the number one commentator on Fox, and that comes with some issues. So Clinton and I are going to get to it coming up in just a little bit, but we start today with the latest from Command Land, which is we now know officially John Allen on IR. I guess that part we knew on Monday that that was going to happen, but the move gets made today. We also learned a little bit more, though, about some of the other injuries along that defensive line, which then goes to the question of how they ultimately replace the production here. Who do they even have available? So Dorrance Armstrong did not practice today. Javonte Jean-Baptiste did not practice either because he also joined Allen on IR. Here's Dan Quinn. I knew that update was coming. Anthony, should I just run this Java update here? How does this work? We're going to update. Are you going to not restart my computer? Are you going to stop making a noise at 4:05 every day? Oh, no, we can't do that. Do you want to allow this device to make changes to your device? Sure. Just don't restart the computer in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I would have postponed it.
I'm just tired of it happening every day. Someone else is going to do it. Okay, I think we did it. Maybe at 4:05 tomorrow, I won't get a we're trying to play sound.
That would be nice.
Now we're really installing. Get out of the way. Here's Dan Quinn on Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Dorrance Armstrong.
Dorrance will not practice today. And yes, we're hoping it's shorter than longer with Javonte with his ankle injury. So we're hopeful that it's, you know, at the limit and we'll get a C for there. It's too early to call today, John.
So there's Quinn on that. And then is Armstrong's injury considered long term?
I'm not concerned on a longer term, no. If it was, then it would have been, you know, like a IR move to go. So he's not going to practice today. And so, you know, we're just going to take it as we're going. But knowing Dorrance, like, this is a tough competitor. And so I know he'll put the work in to get, you know, better and get, you know, back to play just as soon as he possibly can.
And they need it because he has been their best pass rusher so far this season. I know Fowler might have been a louder pass rusher, but the pressure rate, Anthony, a multiple choice test for you. Is Dante Fowler's pass rush win rate half of Dorrance Armstrong's, 75% or 85% of Dorrance Armstrong's? Half, 75, 85.
I'm going to say half.
That is correct. It is half. He's got an 11% win rate. Dorrance has a 20.
Yeah, he's been, I think even if you look at the Ravens game, I think he was just in some good spaces to, you know, complete the sack. I know he got pancaked one time, got up, still got the sack. So
yeah, Fowler you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fowler's a good rusher and he's explosive and he's got a lot of juice, but like the consistent pocket push mm-hmm. and the types of pressures that affect throws, even if you don't get a sack. Like Armstrong is doing that one out of five rushes, and Armstrong is doing it one out of every 10, or Fowler is, and Armstrong is playing a lot more. So he has definitely been your best pass rusher so far this season. Obviously, part of that is the double teams that constantly get the attention inside because of John Allen and Daron Payne's presence. Now, without Allen, what does Dan Quinn anticipate the impact being, the fallout of losing his former Pro Bowl defensive tackle?
Yeah, I thought, what a great line by John. Just, you know, as opposed to, hey, don't feel sorry for me. Here's a good chance for you to get more chances, more opportunities. And that's what a leader does, you know, knowing that there's other guys in the room that are, you know, will step up, you know, specifically Johnny, and knowing that they're ready to take that challenge on. But I thought that was a great moment by him of allowing in his space of a tough and dark time to say, this is a good opportunity for you, man. Go get it and go take it. And everybody deserves those chances when you go for it. And this just happens to be one of those times when, and all of us have been in that spot, like, hey, man, this is your chance. And you go absolutely go for it and go for it as hard as you can.
So there's Quinn on who's got to step up. And obviously Johnny Newton is the big name that needs to do that. There is a lot that you lose with John Allen down to Johnny Newton, and that's not because I don't think Johnny Newton hasn't done some really good things, but Newton is undersized, and to get him to play first and second down, especially every single snap, like that's asking a lot. Like I actually think you're going to see a fair amount of Fedarian Mathis on first and second down, and you're just going to take the hit on the pass rush juice to not give up a ton in the run game. And, you know, Mitch Tischler was on our show earlier this week, and he said something that I think is probably true. Like, snap for snap, the better run defender is probably Fedarian Mathis. Now, with that said, you don't know that it's going to be a run. Do teams get Fedarian on the field and then say, cool, we're going to now run to the perimeter a little bit more because he doesn't have the mobility, or we're going to hit some boot actions and he doesn't have the mobility to chase down and cause havoc in the way that John Allen does. Okay, well, now you put in Johnny Newton. Okay, well, now we're going to run right at you. So there are things that have to happen here from a... you know, just a planning stage of like, hey, Wagner, Luvu, Jordan McGee, assuming he gets back in the mix now that he is available. Do you know your personnel in front of you? Do you know where the weaknesses are? Can you cover for them? And that's going to be a tough ask. That said, Carolina's a little bit softer of a landing spot. Obviously, their running game is good. They have a good offensive line. They have a good specifically interior of their offensive line because they spent $100 million on it hundreds of millions of dollars on it this offseason in contracts. So Chuba Hubbard's a good back. That's, we're going to find out. And by the way, that's something that Dan was asked about today, that specific Carolina running game.
Yeah, it's fully grown in terms of the run game there. You know, I've got a lot of respect for it. The interior of their line is exceptional, both in the run game and the pass game. But you see the yards per carry, and so they have to do a nice job of the run game, the play pass. I think the addition of Andy, you know, has leveled out some of the things there. But those are some things that jumped out to me, was the strength of their run game, their ability to cut it back. You know, I was certainly impressed in studying them. I'm not surprised by Dave and the staff that he put together that that's a strong part for them.
And, of course, the good news is you can dedicate more resources to it, right? You can play like you played Baltimore and then not worry about your corners and your DBs getting beat by Zay Flowers, because Carolina doesn't have a Zay Flowers. They've got a couple of guys with a little bit of juice. That's the NFL. You're always going to have someone. But the consistency, the suddenness, nevertheless, the quarterback delivering, like, you don't have to worry about him running in the same way. Dalton was mobile in his heyday, and he can still run around a little bit, but he's not Lamar Jackson, obviously. Thanks for that analysis, Hoffman. And he also is not as consistent delivering the football. And the receivers are not going to be able to get as open. So there are ways you can play this team that are much more similar to, say, what you did to Arizona, what you did to Cleveland, because you're just not as scared on the outside of what the passing game can do. And that should help your run game. And then the question is, once you face better quarterbacks down the road, like when you face, let's say, Philadelphia, right, and you want to stop their running game, you want to stop Saquon, they have a good O-line, they have obviously a very talented back who can hit you for big hitters, and then while Jalen Hurts is not close to what Lamar Jackson is, he can run, which affects your numbers in the box and how you play certain stuff, and they've got beasts on the outside. So you are forced to play different coverage structures and give your corners help because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are a nightmare. So outside of Philly, I don't know that there's another offense this year that really scares me on their schedule to the level that Baltimore did. But post John Allen, Carolina is a good enough test that I think we learned some stuff about this defense this weekend. Hear more from Quinn next, then Clinton Yates coming up at 4:30 here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming on YouTube at the Team 980. One of the biggest conversations in command land over the last, really since Sunday, but even going back to last week, it's like, oh, they're 4-1, now 4-2, but they proved they could go toe-to-toe to an extent with a team like Baltimore is, should this team be buyers at the trade deadline? And so that question, of course, is really one that's more interesting for Adam Peters. I certainly have some thoughts on it. I'm sure Dan Quinn does too. And I can give you mine in a second, but let's hear from Quinn because he was asked about this today and asked if, you know, there's any acceleration to what they're building because of how they've started this season.
Right. That's a good question for Adam, but we talk about the team all the time, you know, so although there's a deadline, it doesn't mean there's a, you know, time that you have to, you know, begin that. And so we spent a lot of time on the roster and the team, and you're right that we did get banged up into some spots, and that's why we are fortunate that the practice squad is bigger, you know, than it was years ago. And you guys can remember that when, you know, there was four players, you know, and then the street list was different and you went through that. But now there's I feel like a really good developmental plan of people that are in the building and practicing and playing. And so when those opportunities come up to go deliver, and although people may have not played a lot of reps, you know, they get their chances. And you probably heard me say it before, but J-Mac is certainly the one that comes to mind for me of when his number was called, you get ready to deliver. And that's just such a pure example for us.
I think it's interesting to hear Quinn say that. One, because he doesn't say anything about, we are definitely going to go and acquire someone in a trade. Please call Adam Peters at insert number here. Like he doesn't say that, which makes all the sense in the world. You don't want to appear desperate. That's a bad place to be in trades. He doesn't explicitly say that they won't do that, but he points to the practice squad and the internal nature of things. And that is also to me a very coachy type of answer. Where it's like, hey, we got more guys that I'm excited to see what they can do. And the reality is those guys on the practice squad probably aren't that different from a lot of the guys that are on the end of the roster. The problem is the guys who are the backups, the twos, are not as good as the ones. And that is where the biggest drop-off is in the NFL. Not from the twos to the threes necessarily, or the threes to the fours, although sometimes the threes to the fours on training camp, you're like, oh, that guy's an NFL player and that guy's not. So there is some of that, like, oh, practice squad. But there's, I think, a lot of players around the NFL that if they're put in the right situation, that they're on a practice squad now, like, they could be a part of the rotation at the back end. The problem is when those guys have to play real minutes, and guys above them who are your middle class of the NFL, your mid-tier player who is very solid backup, probably a little overexposed as a starter, has to play starters minutes. And sometimes it's just a young player like Johnny Newton who's not quite ready for that yet, who's still, you know, didn't have a training camp, basically, you know, been banged up, in and out. Now he's in his sixth week as an NFL pro, and, you know, in terms of game weeks, and now he's going to be apt to be a starter, and he's going to get a lot of attention. And is he ready for that? So these are the things that as a coach you can say, like, oh, I'm excited about this guy's opportunity, and I have no doubt that they are, because they invest in those guys. They put time in, and they want to see what kind of return they can get, and occasionally you get that. Occasionally you have Jeremy McNichols come in and play so well that he winds up getting more snaps when the guy that he replaced was healthy again. But much more often, and especially these veterans that they're bringing in, guys like a Sheldon Day, has been around. He's a known commodity. There's only so good he's going to be. Hopefully he can do a replacement level job. That'd be a win. I don't expect him to go out there and have a 9-sack season, which is kind of what you're hoping from John Allen. It's just not going to happen. But if he can, you know, hold his gap in the run way more times than not, get a little bit of pass rush juice and not just get blown off the ball, and spell Johnny Newton that Newton can have a 6.5-7 sack season, okay, well, now we're talking. They can win with that. So from the internal, like, yes, that is absolutely something that you're, working on doing, but Adam Peters' job it's a better question for Adam as a coach. You're ever like, hey, Adam, please go find someone.
No, because I don't, get into, the what ifs and where we're at. The thing that we spend, the time on it, hey, is there anything that's stressing you? Is there, a spot that we need to address and go through? So that's really more where our time's spent. But you're right, there's a lot of people around this time of year that get calls, give calls, all of that. And I think that's just kind of part of this time.
I think philosophically, you're always going to give the same answer. We'll make the move that's best for the team. I think the unspoken part of that, the part that's fun to talk about on radio shows, honestly, it's probably kind of fun to talk about in internal meetings, although their conversations have actual consequences and ours are for entertainment, is what that means. Like, what is best for the team? And I think with the way Jaden's playing, what's best for the team is to not waste a year. Hey, Jaden was playing as a top five quarterback in the first year of his rookie contract. And, we didn't think that was going to happen. And then we got a couple of injuries. So we just punted on the season and we just kind of kept trucking. Like, no. And this kid's going to play at this level. Like, you owe it to him and everybody else around to see how good you can be. Now, you don't need to sell out for this year. You don't need to trade three first-round picks for someone. Like, go pry someone away for a stupid price. Like, no, that's also silly. You can do both. But I think you are maybe more willing to give up a second or a third or a future, whatever. Like, if you're 2026 second, you held in a certain esteem because you're like, we're still going to be rebuilding. Or even your 2025, or yeah, your 2026. Yeah, I would say even your 2025, right? Next year's pick, your second round pick. You're like, that pick's going to be a top 10 pick in the second round. There's no way we can trade that. Well, now you're like, that pick could be late, in the 20s of the second round. It's different conversation. Worth something that's a little bit different. And so I think that you have to say, we'll do what's best for the team, but what's best for the team might be being willing to give up something a little bit heavier to get a better player that helps you now and in the future, as opposed to just holding on to your draft picks and maybe even selling for some draft picks at the deadline. And Dan Quinn was asked directly about this today, because once you get the franchise quarterback right, everything else changes. It has to. It simply has to. And Jaden Daniels being clearly the right guy means your clock on his rookie contract The best bargain in sports starts now. So when you get that franchise QB right in the draft, what does it mean for your team starting immediately?
Well, yeah, I think everybody, that's the name of the game, to say at a position that, you know, affects the outcome so much, decision-making and processes to go, there's so much that goes into it. And so for me, getting a chance to be around excellent quarterbacks and seeing what it looks like and knowing that we have an excellent quarterback here, it's fantastic. I would say the common thread on that is relentless work ethics. And I've seen it with Jaden and going back through Dak and Matt and on the way down the line. That is a trait that definitely sticks out to me. There's just so much preparation that can go, and finding the right balance of decision-making, competing, you know, knowing, you know, making the plays go right, speeding up throws. It doesn't just get seen on just the way he's throwing it. It's in the way that he's playing the position. And oftentimes things that don't show up on the stat sheet are really a big deal. You know, dirting a ball that's in a 2 minute that wouldn't go for anything. That was an incomplete. Well, it was actually a really good play that, you know, like we didn't do a hell of a lot of coaching on. You know, it was like him being like really smart to go nail that. So those are some of the traits that it goes. And it definitely, you know, knowing that that person's there and fighting shoulder to shoulder with you. You know, I love Jaden, what he brings to us. And I can't wait to see him grow, man. He is absolutely relentless about it.
And that's why it works. It's not just a kid who's had a great start, the greatest start in the history of the league at the position, and is like, I've made it. I'm cool. Like, he's pissed after the Baltimore game. He doesn't like losing. That's going to drive a lot of winning around here. And it's up to the organization to make sure that they're on that. Now, that doesn't mean be irrational. It doesn't mean go trade all willy-nilly. It doesn't mean go all in for this year. But certainly don't want to waste a year. The league is too fragile. And I think these guys know that. These guys know that just because you're good now doesn't mean you're good next. They've had a couple of down years in San Francisco, or disappointments in San Francisco. Obviously, DQ gets to the Super Bowl, and then that's the peak in Atlanta, is that 28-3 lead, and it's literally all downhill from there. There are no guarantees. If you have a shot, you should make sure that you make the most of it. But also, with a quarterback at the beginning of his career and knowing you have multiple years left on this rookie deal and a bunch of big decisions to make, you don't want to put yourself in a corner either. So there's a fine balance. Adam Peters is fully aware of that, and I'm sure that they will do what they think is best. And unlike a lot of previous regimes, I actually trust them in that judgment of making the decisions that will actually turn out best for the team. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, our good pal Clinton Yates joins us from ESPN. And we're going to discuss Tom Brady's jobs, owner and broadcaster, and why they're oil and water. They do not mix. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And if you're watching us on YouTube at the Team 980, where we also stream all 3 hours live, you're getting a lovely pageant wave from the one and only Clinton Yates with this first Wednesday visit. What up?
How are you, Gregory? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm getting to talk about a football team that people are even happy about when they lose. So that's nice.
Pretty exciting stuff. I mean, I felt like that last game was about where it was supposed to be. I might call out some of my friends, and by some of my friends, I mean former caller to another, so that you know my gambling partner is Slim. He thought that the line was egregious before the game started based on how well the Commanders were playing. It turned out to be exactly correct. So,
of course,
you know, there's sometimes a little tempering of the expectations that is always necessary, but I just had to, you know, get after him a little bit.
Yeah, 6.5. Oh, it was 7. Well, what do
it
you know?
It was 7.
It's going to be a one-score game. One score, 7 points. Unfortunately, the extra point was good. We're actually going to take a quick swerve away from the Commanders, talk about another big NFL story, though, with Clinton, of course, the host of ESPN Daily, which is available.
Daily.
You almost missed your cue there.
Thinking about other stuff.
Thinking about what we're about to talk about. Stay in the moment. Stay present. Tom Brady presently is a $300 million, I think, broadcaster for Fox Sports, who now owns 10% of the Las Vegas Raiders, which prevents him from doing a lot of things for Fox Sports. So to catch people up who might not know, the NFL owners approved Brady's minority stake in the Raiders yesterday. He is now a 10% owner.
And that comes with a lot of restrictions in terms of what he can do for Fox. Production meetings, being in opposing teams' facilities, a lot of things that are very standard for game broadcasters, Brady cannot do, despite the fact that he is Fox's number one color analyst, a.k.a. when they next have the Super Bowl, he will call the Super Bowl. Clinton, your thoughts on this? Let's start broad. Let's start there.
Well, I know this is a little bit wonky, and I know that talking about the business is not necessarily something that everybody likes to hear about, but this kind of stuff is important for a lot of reasons. Number one, this is his first time doing it. And that alone, just from a, and you know this, having come up in this business, just from an opportunity standpoint as an athlete, you think, okay, to step into the number one seat immediately, I understand you're Tom Brady. I understand that your collective knowledge of football that you will forget, as they say, is way more than any of us will ever know based on your achievements on the gridiron. But calling a game is still calling a game. It is a different craft. And the number one thing about this that I think of immediately is the fact that he's going to make basically more per game or per season than anybody will ever make in his career, their career that he ever works with. And like that alone as just a power balance in a work environment is really, really weird, kiddos. I'm being very serious about that. And so that's like one thing about it. But the second thing is, if he's not even going to be able to do his job, what is the NFL even thinking here? How do you allow this on either side? Because it's obviously going to affect the quality of the telecast. Like, there's so much about this that doesn't add up to me, Craig, from both a process and an endpoint standing that I just don't get. And I almost feel bad for Brady because he's in a no-win situation, but he's getting paid gobs of money to do it.
I don't feel bad because
but you get my point. Sort of theoretically.
He should not be pursuing, like, at some point it comes down on him to be like, well, I'm going to do the Fox thing so I can't be a team owner, or I'm going to be a team owner so I can't do the Fox thing. Like, you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. And
no,
now,
that's fair.
Someone else, whoever's serving the cake, like, someone stopped giving Tom Brady cake. So there's plenty of blame to go around. But like, at what point do you just go like, hey guys, like clearly this ain't right. I don't feel good about this, as opposed to just taking money from everybody.
That's fair. There's an obvious conflict of interest. And when Mark Davis came out and said, we traded Devontae for Tom Brady, bro, Tom Brady would be better off playing quarterback for the Raiders than he would be owning the Raiders at this point, as far as anybody's entertainment quotient is concerned around that guy. And I'm sort of being funny, but I really just don't get this. And honestly, you know, look, this is a little bit personal. We all know people who work in this business who have had opportunities that they could have or maybe should have gotten passed over. And for Brady to kind of walk into the building, and this is not about what network it even is, and just sort of take over the entirety of the circumstance like that, I think it's tough. If I'm Greg Olson, I am furious on a lot of levels. He got demoted for this. And Greg is one of those guys that was a good player. You could call him a great player. He wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he certainly knew the game and came from a lineage of football that he is good at expressing on air. And that's really what it's about in a broadcast standpoint. It's not just saying, well, I was that good and I remember when I did this. There's so many parts of this that just kind of upset me. And I'm not even a big football fan, Gregory. You know this. But seeing things develop like this when, you know, it just feels like this weird kind of stunt casting. I don't like it at all for the league.
No, it makes me furious. You know, our business is a very rapidly evolving, changing thing. And you and I, because we're actual real life friends and we talk about, like, you are one of my, just so the audience understands, like, I'm not just saying this to say this, and Clinton knows this, like, Clinton is probably my closest friend in this business. And so yes, we have a lot of chalk talks about career stuff, like really intensely personal. And sometimes that includes the finances of it. And so like to watch the way the industry is changing, and, you know, you and I have talked about, well, okay, where do I want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? And like, we both kind of gotten to the point where when we have those conversations, we look at each other and go, I don't know, because I don't know what the industry is going to look like in 10 years. And part of it is the money is so shifted towards former athletes. And you see, I mean, like, I'll go to your shop. I'm not going to get you in trouble, so I'll say this part. But like, Zach Lowe getting let go on the NBA stuff, right? Like, Zach, as a writer and as someone who covered the sport, did it at as high a level as anyone. And ESPN chooses to let him go and keep any number of former athletes who are good at the job on television. Like, they're good on NBA Today, but like, they chose the former athlete, you know. And not that calling games necessarily is a spot where former athletes haven't always had the upper hand, but the skew of the money, to your point, like, the amount more that Brady is making every single week than the producers, the directors, the cameramen, nevertheless, Kevin Burkhardt sitting next to him throughout their entire careers. Like, it's wild, the discrepancy here. And then I think to that point, imagine the person you work with that makes the most money tenfold doesn't have to do any of the work because they can't, right? Like, Brady can go watch the film, and like, he's Tom Brady, so he's going to have insight. And I actually think, like, sure, if Fox wants to keep him and they want to put him on a desk where he's not having to go into facilities, like, Tom Brady's insights into football are worth having. But to call a specific game on a national level and do it well enough week in, week out, that you are appealable to the local audiences that follow those teams every single week at diehard level, like, you have to have that kind of access. And he's not. And I think especially for a guy who is fairly fresh out of the league, who has his way of doing things, but may not have the exposure to a bunch of different coaches, a bunch of different styles, a bunch of different thought processes, where the way he solved a problem as a quarterback might be different than the way the coordinator or the quarterback on the field is, that tremendously hurts the telecast. And that's something that Fox and the NFL, to your point, should absolutely care about.
The other thing about that, Craig, is that I just kind of don't understand what you're maximizing at that point. The whole point, as you stated, is that Tom knows guys in the league. He was right there. If he can't be interacting with those people, what are you even using the value of what his actual identity is even for? That's where, and this is getting a little existential, I understand that, but, you know, never mind the dollars. Like, yo, the whole point of having a person recently out of the league is that they are clearly fresh in their minds with people that are currently in the league. If you can't interact with those people, why would you allow either one? Never mind whether or not Tom wants to do both. I just feel that it's a very sort of weird and unnecessary kneecapping of something that I guess could have been cool. I'm not going to act like I'm the type of person that would tune in to see a Tom Brady call a game, but that's just me. There's an entire nation of people from Boston to Tampa, frankly, that probably would. And I get that. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't really understand what the strategy is here. And, you know, as largely as we can, rather as specifically as we can talk about Tom, you know, I don't know how you value what one person is worth any broadcast to broadcast anyway. Like, that is above my pay grade. Sorry. To pay somebody that much money to do something that happens once a week to me is still, you know, it is what it is. They're calculations that people make, but, you know, they're not playing the games anymore. And it's just interesting to see what value people, and this is a larger discussion, but what value will NFL athletes have to the NFL after they stop playing, period, is always an interesting one. And this is a total market changer for that on a lot of levels.
For sure. And the last thing I'll just add real quick, and this is inside baseball or inside football, but it actually really matters to those of us who watch the games. Typically the color analyst kind of runs those production meetings. I know enough play-by-play people to know that, yes, of course there are discussions, and every team, every broadcast team does it a little bit differently, but typically, like, when Kevin Burkhardt was working with Greg Olsen and they sit down with the coordinators, Greg's the one asking a lot of the questions. And so sure, now he might not be the one using all the information on the broadcast, their sideline reporter, the play-by-play guy, they all get that information and they all might use it without
that's
Brady,
why you have the meeting.
Right. Right. And so if Brady's not in there to ask the questions, it becomes on, and Kevin's a really smart guy, and they've got other people that are really, really smart directors, producers, whoever, but they're not Tom freaking Brady, and none of them played in the league. And so to not be able to ask those questions of your game of the week every single week, it not only hurts Brady's ability to do his job, it literally hurts the entire team. And that is not good for the game of the week every week, nevertheless, a future Super Bowl broadcast every 3 years when Fox has it. Yeah, it's wild.
Wishing them well, but a tough situation.
Yeah. Clint Yates with us, of course, ESPN Daily. Real quick, before we let you go, I know there's something else that you want to talk about on the local scene here, and that is something that was highlighted in your former newspaper, The Washington Post, by Barry Sferluga, wrote a column off of something that Mike Locksley is doing. Of course, the University of Maryland coach, who has been very, very upfront, forward, and serious with his players about certain celebrations that mimic any kind of use of a firearm. And that is because Mike Locksley's son was killed in a gun violence incident. And this is something he takes very, very seriously. It's something that we've seen be an issue in the NFL with some of the finger pointing and, you know, the mimicking on what feels like more of a water gun level than an actual firearm level. But the NFL is taking it very seriously. And Locks, you know, different versions of these celebrations have been like, no, you're not doing this here. Barry wrote about it. You read it. What did you make of what Locksley's doing?
Number one, I want to commend Barry for even highlighting this at all. I'm not going to say it's a tricky topic, but it is one that, well, quite frankly, has a lot of connections that have a lot more to do with, frankly, race and age and location than I think a lot of people want to admit. To have young black men running around doing this kind of stuff on football fields, and I don't want to sound like the oldest man in Old Manistan, but you know how you get to be an old man? Staying alive. And as somebody that grew up in 80s and 90s DC, I understand what gun violence means to a lot of people. So while, yes, I feel the need for athletes to be able to express themselves and celebrate, there is a line. And particularly at Maryland, where kids have died, and I'm referring, you know, very specifically to Jordan McNair, over situations that were sort of outside of football, but within football. Like, you just can't have this. So for Locks to step up and say, nah, I'm the adult in the room, this is not what I want with my program, I think it's very commendable. And not even on a wacky moral level, just on a basic human level, this is a good step for me. That's a team that's having an up and down season, the Terps, that is, to say best. But this is why you hire a Locks, is so that you actually have some level of a culture that alums and fans can respect, never mind what's happening from a result standpoint on the field. So my thing is, I like this a lot. It reminded me of the late great man who is the reason why I am who I am in the sports world today. That would be John Thompson. A step up move that says flat out, this is not how we run this program. Good job out of Locks.
Yeah, no, salute to Locks for doing this. The adult in the room. And I, for all of our friendship over the years, I've not heard the oldest man in Old Manistan. That's a good one. That's a good turn of phrase, Clinton Yates.
Hi, I'm television's Clinton Yates.
That's television's Clinton Yates, and everybody. He also hosts a podcast. It's called ESPN Daily, and it is available.
Daily, sir.
Daily. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980.
What's up, kiddos? It's your boy Clinton Yates from ESPN. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Tell your mama I said what's up.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock, you will hear from Logan Paulson on the Commanders' defense. We're not going to play a full Take Command clip, but there's a couple things that Logan said in our full episode breaking down the Baltimore game about this defense that I think are really worth diving into, because they are instructive on how I think we should feel about this defense moving forward. Some of these things, like, hey, this is a big problem. And then some of these problems are very specifically caused by the fact that you were playing the Baltimore Ravens. And so I want to dive into some of that with the help of some things that Logan said coming up at 5 o'clock in lieu of Not My Beat today. So that's coming up at 5. And then, hey, Anthony, what's behind you?
See? When people win, they don't know how to act. And Craig doesn't know how to act.
That's not true. I've got lots of practice. I'm the worst. I am so insufferable right now. This is purely because of what you did last week. Anthony's got the wheel. He lost competition Wednesday. Just how tight was it? And he's going to spin that wheel coming up at 5:30. The Wheel of Mediocre Punishment returns, and we pick three more games for next week. 6 o'clock, of course, the pick six at 6. All right, Anthony, we have time for like a 60-second take on something. So I'll give you the Amari Cooper trade. I'll give you the Justin Fields going to be benched for Russell Wilson, or the I did the 60-second version of the Davante Adams trade. Which 60-second take do you want?
I will take the
Justin Fields one. Thanks for asking, yeah. Anthony. There was a 60-second take time, and you were going to take the entire 60 seconds to decide. Yeah. Here's the thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Offensively, they have a ceiling. That ceiling is the kind that a tall person would bump their head against. It's low. It's not unusable, but it's low. It's not, we can't get into this room. We call that the Cleveland Browns, but it's low. With Russell Wilson, with Justin Fields, they're only going to be so good offensively. So if you're Mike Tomlin, a coach who I realize is very silly to give advice to if I'm a radio host, he's never lost more games than he's won in an entire NFL season. But if you're Mike Tomlin and you're managing that situation, I think I would want the quarterback who I can used to enhance my running game the most, hit a couple of big plays, keep my offense off the on the field as much as I can with his scrambling ability. And that quarterback is Justin Fields, and that quarterback is why I'm 4-2. Obviously, the bigger reason is TJ Watt in the defense, but the supplemental nature of and the complementary nature of their running game is going to be hurt by the fact that they're going to go to Russell Wilson. Now, I also do understand that for a team that or a coordinator in Arthur Smith, who likes to run a lot of outside zone, then play action stuff off of that, Russell Wilson can do some damage in that part, the deep throws and things like that. He also doesn't see the middle of the field particularly well. Neither does Fields, but neither does Wilson, and that is an area where Smith is traditionally attacked. So, long story short, I think this is a bit of a silly thing without knowing the locker room dynamics, and that's the last part of this. This feels like the kind of thing that could upset a locker room. Hey, Justin's been playing great. We've been winning with him. He's a competitor, and now you're gonna take his job away? Now, maybe people are seeing the way Russ is in practice, and they're like, we can't wait till this guy's healthy because we're going to take off. But it is the kind of thing that Mike Tomlin, I hope he didn't just outsmart himself, because they're looking for something more without realizing, yeah, you might get more over here, but you're going to lose a lot more on the other side of the equation. It's not balanced in a way that favors you. That's the 60-second Justin Fields take. You know why that one was ready?
Why was it?
Because this haircut I got today, it was done by a Steelers fan, so we were talking shop as he cut my hair.
When we were sitting in our meeting, I couldn't help but look over and be like, "Craig has a nice cut."
This was clearly a really good cut.
No, it was
because the second I walked in to work today, Essig said something to me. Then, as soon as Linnell saw me through the glass, he said something on the air. He couldn't help himself, and now you're saying, "Okay."
It's 3 for 3.
Shout out to Steven.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Look, I love my normal barber, but she's on vacation. Are we going to have barber drama? That's the worst, bro.
Yeah, you can't cheat on your barber.
I might have to.
Unless you absolutely have to.
This wasn't cheating. This wasn't cheating.
Yeah, unless you absolutely have to.
It's not a committed relationship, so there's no cheating. It's a business relationship, but I could not receive the services because I needed a haircut, and the haircut wasn't available. Point is, I'm gonna have to have a discussion with myself about what I'd do for my next haircut, because I've gotten a lot of compliments. All right. If you want to see my haircut, watch us on YouTube. Whether you watch us, you listen to us, however you're consuming the show, you'll hear more on the Commander's defense with the help of a man with a very lovely beard and a nice haircut himself, Logan Paulson, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.